This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. So now that the general manager of the MBTA, Beverly Scott, has announced her intention to resign, what now? The T is still woefully underfunded, an agey, creaky system with too many out-of-date cars, battered and crippled by the recent winter weather, with more snow on its way. In fact, it started snowing already. Now add to those challenges a search for a new general manager. We're going to talk about the road ahead for the T, and we're going to ask what happened. We know that the T ground to a halt this week. We know that Governor Charlie Baker declared its performance unacceptable, and we heard Beverly Scott's passionate and animated defense of her staff and her record. But what compelled an experienced, very popular general manager to quit just hours after members of a state transportation board gave her a unanimous vote of confidence? With me to talk about all of that is Paul Regan. He's executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board, which provides public oversight of the T's budget. And Paul Regan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good. Thank you very much.
So, and listeners, we invite you into this conversation. What do you make of Beverly Scott's resignation? And what's the way forward for the T? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And I want to say first that we did invite Beverly Scott on the program today, but her office declined our invitation. Paul Regan, Beverly Scott's decision to quit, you and I were talking about this earlier today. It seemed to stun just about everyone, caught everyone by surprise. How surprised were you?
I was stunned. I was very surprised. She's immensely popular with transportation advocates, with T employees. After this broke, I called some friends of mine over at the T, and it really did take everybody off guard.
Now, given the crisis that all the snow created in recent days, Scott has no doubt been feeling the pressure. Some of that arguably came from Governor Charlie Baker, who said earlier this week that it's pretty clear that the T needs a new operating plan, and he called the delays simply not acceptable. I know this is just speculation, but do you think that contributed to her decision?
I think that jobs like this are general manager jobs are lightning rods,
yeah.
Both in Massachusetts and throughout the country. If you look at the history of just of the T in the last, say, 10 years or so, every time that there's a major problem or even a relatively minor problem, it's always the call for the general manager's head. I don't know the details of this. I'd love to know, but I don't. I think that she knew, I think, that this is a very controversial position, especially since she's been here a couple of years. She knows the condition of the T. If the red line breaks down on a 70-degree day in June, you could pretty much predict that we were going to have trouble when we got 4 or 5 feet of snow.
Right. Well, since she announced her intention to resign, Scott has been more or less mum. Reporters asked her last night if she had been forced to give up, and she answered, "I never give up anything." But let's listen to a clip from that Academy Award-winning press conference that she gave on Tuesday when she made the point that what plagues the T is not a management problem, it's a funding and resources problem. Here's what she said.
"I am truly unimportant in this. I am unimportant. Get what you need or what you want. But what you have got to do is that you've got to give that person or whoever they are, God Jr. or whomever, give them the resources that they need, and that means that there has to be significant investment and reinvestment in this system."
So that performance earned her lots of respect. The Twitter sphere sort of lit up after that. But Paul, she makes a pretty strong case there that this challenge is about resources, not management.
I agree with her.
Yeah.
I think that this is not a management crisis. No one could have manage this this situation better. I think people would have done it differently, perhaps, but I don't think you can do it better. The machine's broke,
yeah.
And there's really not a lot you can do about that.
Right.
She's right in the sense that the resources to make sure that those machines don't break have not been there for a very long time. This snow emergency is about choices we've made.
Over a long period of time.
Very much so.
Right. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Listeners, we're talking to Paul Regan. He's executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board. What do you make of Beverly Scott's resignation? And what's the way forward for the T? Join the conversation by giving us a call at 1-800-423-8255. Let me introduce Simon Waxman. He's managing editor of the Boston Review and a contributor to Cognoscenti, WBUR's opinion page. And Simon Waxman, it's good to have you. Thanks for coming back on Radio Boston.
Oh, thank you, Anthony.
So let me ask you about your Cognoscenti piece today, and it's entitled, Amid the Tees Crisis, Governor Baker is Showing His Management Style It's Not Pretty. Explain that. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, you know, I think like everyone in the Boston area, I've been frustrated by the way the system has operated lately, but it never occurred to me to suggest that it was a failure of the T, its operating plan, its management. I mean, to me, that implicitly, or rather, you know, to suggest that it's a failure of the operating plan implies it's a failure of the management. But, you know, as Paul was just saying, as you were saying, as I think everybody must understand at this point, it's a fiscal failure. It's because the T is consistently underfunded. And so in that circumstance, to have the governor come out and publicly, you know, put pressure on the leadership of the system and blame the operators of the system, you know, to me that seems pretty unfair. It seems to me that a good manager, and of course Charlie Baker ran heavily on that platform of being a skilled private sector manager, that a good manager is going to look at that situation and, you know, give people a straight answer about it, protect his employees.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really seem to be what happened in this case.
We should say that Governor Baker met with Beverly Scott earlier today. He was asked straight out by a scrum of reporters who were waiting for him when he came out of the meeting, did you force her out? He replied, no, I didn't. And let me play some tape from Stephanie Pollack. This is Governor Baker's transportation secretary and a member of the transportation board that voted unanimously and gave Beverly Scott a vote of confidence. Here's what she said just hours before Scott's resignation.
And I have to say that it's interesting that anyone would actually think that I would be part of an administration that would scapegoat Dr. Scott for the performance of the MBTA over the last 3 weeks.
So, Simon, I'm wondering, what more do you think the governor should have done to support Scott?
Well, I think he could have come out and basically echoed her sentiments. I mean, she made a number of important statements about the fiscal neglect of the system, and that is the root of the problem. And I think that, you know, he should have been telling us the same thing. Instead, for most of the period of this crisis, he was talking about how frustrating it was, how disappointing it was, and how a new operating plan needed to be put in place. And, you know, to me, that's sort of deflecting blame in the wrong direction.
You know, Paul Regan, one thing that did strike me about this, from again going back to that press conference that Beverly Scott gave on Tuesday, she said that she hadn't even shaken the governor's hand at this point. She hadn't talked to him. Did that seem strange to you that they hadn't talked?
I thought it was a little strange. I mean, in a crisis like this, of this kind of scope, I would imagine that the governor would have reached out to, you know, whatever employees he needed, whether at the highway department or at the MBTA or, you know, FEMA, whoever, to make sure that he had a clear understanding of what was going on. I understand that he probably had a brand new secretary and didn't want to, you know, circumvent whatever chain of command there is. But, you know, for this, I am a little surprised that they hadn't spoken before today.
Let's take a couple of calls. We've got Anya, who's calling from Cambridge. Anya, you're on the air.
Yeah, I am. And, you know, guys, I'm absolutely excited and in a way, very enthusiastic to hear about what's going on. I absolutely salute this woman, Beverly Scott, and I think she did the right thing. The MBTA, it's a eyesore. I come from Poland, and I used to live in Germany, in Europe, and I love America. I love America for its spirit, and I love American people, generally speaking. And I must say that philosophy of not investing in transportation in terms of commuting and how people travel to work, and especially now during our climate change and all that horrible stuff that is going on in environment, not investing in commuting, in transportation, I mean public transportation, I think it's a huge mistake.
All right, so Anya, we got the point. I want to move on to a couple of other callers, but I'm really glad you called. You put a couple of really good points on the table there, a vote, an endorsement there of Beverly Scott and a vote in favor of more investment in public transportation. Let's just get one more call in before we go back to our guests. Ivan is calling from Marlboro. Ivan, you're on the air.
Yeah, well, listen, I think the T has had some great administrative managers in the past few decades. Krasbauskas, the guy who just the acting director, Mr. Joyce, before Mr. Scott. And what happens is Charlie's been disingenuous and accusative in a form that was very, very gratuitous. I mean, this is a guy who placed $3.5 billion of additional debt onto the T when he was in charge of the operations of the Boston Dig in terms of the financing. So I see this as a lack of leadership on his part, knowing well in advance the situation with the T. Not only that, but I did not see Stephanie Pollack, and I'm just a follower of the T. In any of the of the presentations that Mrs. Scott had in the previous week, you know, I'm talking about PR things with the media, explaining the situation at the T. So it seems that Charlie Baker did not follow up by sending even Mrs. Stephanie Pollack, who yesterday at the meeting was very disingenuous in saying that she had not wanted to interfere with the duties of Mrs. Scott. So what it means is, it seems to me that, you know, it doesn't look... It looks like a dog, smells like a dog, it stinks like a dog.
Okay, Ivan, we got your point, and we're really grateful for the call. Paul, I want to move forward because we just got a few minutes left, but Beverly Scott is stepping down. How big a hole does she leave?
She leaves a very big hole. She is a nationally recognized leader. She's I've described her as a superstar in the past. She has worked at almost every major transit agency in the country. She has enormous shoes to fill, and the T is going to have some trouble recovering from the last 3 weeks. It's going to be difficult to have that recovery, lead that recovery, while a national job search is going on at the same time.
Yeah, and Simon Waxman, you know, both you and Paul have made the point that that what ails the T is a long-term systematic lack of investment in it. And I'm curious, you know, even if everyone from Governor Baker to Speaker DeLeo gets serious about a major cash, a major infusion of cash, it would still take years to fix this system. What do we do in the meantime?
Well, I am not an expert in running transit systems.
No, and I don't ask that question assuming that you are, but it raises an interesting challenge.
I mean, it absolutely does, but I think that if it were, you know, apparent to the voters, and if, in general, the public were on board, I think that we would maybe be able to deal with these crises with a little bit more equanimity. Just knowing that improvements are on the way and that, you know, soon enough we'll have a system that is resilient and that we can take some pride in. And, you know, when our friends come to town, they won't have to, you know, tell us about how much they think the T, you know, ruined their experience. You know, I mean, it's a system that we all want to work. And I think if people see that the investments are being made and that they're being made in a wise and efficient way, then people will be able to wait it out.
And sort of final thought from you, Paul Regan, a lot of folks place a lot of the blame on the backs of lawmakers on Beacon Hill over the years. Given the current crisis, do you think things will change?
I think, yes, I do. I'm really encouraged. I am hopeful for the future that things will change. I think that we've gotten a real window into what's going to happen to this system when it's stressed. It's not going to get less stressed over the next couple of years. It's the big ticket items that you see, vehicles, things like that. Yes, they do take years. Bridges take years. But power systems, signals, tracks, they can be done much faster. It's not a panacea, but increased investment, I think, will result in increased efficiency at the system.
All right. Well, that's Paul Regan. He's executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board. Paul, thanks so much for coming in. We're really grateful.
Thank you.
And Simon Waxman, managing editor of the Boston Review and a contributor to WBUR's opinion page, Cognoscenti, where you can see his recent piece about Beverly Scott's resignation. Thank you, Simon. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
And listeners, stay with us. Still ahead on the program, debating the merits of net neutrality and how best to keep the internet open and innovative. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.